First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, January 8th, 2023. I'm sorry, January 15th. That was last week. January 15th. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
I'm the Wombat. Shoot first, ask second, and then apologize third because shooting is bad.
There you go. And our guests today are Dread Pirate Higgs from Western Canada. Welcome.
Oi.
And the John Richards is attempting to come back in. He was here a minute ago. He had some video problems.
Yeah.
Doesn't concern poor, the radio poor audience.
Poor Apple computers, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yep. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. The Atheist Society of Knoxville, ASK, and we'll tell you more about them after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, or maybe I should say Dread, what's our topic today?
Well, we can talk about a couple of things, but I guess what makes us happy?
Oh, and I love it.
We have this great term, which originates in ancient Greece. I believe it began with Aristotle, and it's called eudaimonia. And it relates to what is human flourishing, or what contributes to human flourishing. So it's a great term. It's time for a revival, a eudaimonia revival.
Nice. And what I love to do is flourish into the topic of how we can flourish. But before we do that, Dread, I can't go a week without your daily invocation. How about we get into it?
As you will.
Appreciate
it. Lord, who art in a colander, al dente be thy noodles. Thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum with meat, as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our cussing, as we forgive those who cuss against us. And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs. For thine are the meatballs, and the sauces, and the grog, whenever and ever.
Amen.
Okay, guys, that was great. Nice and silly, I love it. All right. John Richard, so glad to see you back. Speaking of things that were explored.
My phone, because I've had all sorts of problems. And now my mouse has run down. It's a battery-operated Wi-Fi. So I'm recharging my mouse. Otherwise, I can't use my desktop. This happens when I don't join in with you guys for a whole month.
No sweat. I'm glad to see you either way. Like you got through it and you're flourishing. Guys, I would like to catch up on everyone because it has been a while. For John Richards, I know you got a lot on your plate. I'll just throw this out. I went to volunteer at a VEX robot competition as a judge. VEX robot is an engineering competition for elementary, middle, and high schools where they build robots with unknown challenges set ahead. And then when the challenge is unveiled, the kids have to come together, work together, figure out a way to modify their general robot to be perfect for the particular challenge, whether it's slapping a disc hockey style or shooting a ball into a basket or lifting up a load and dropping it off in a very specific location without any manual control. It's a really interesting competition, and it's cool to see all these little kids already start to ask themselves engineering questions that they'll see in the industrial world. And so what we did as judges, myself and members of my staff, we went down. We didn't coach, but we helped a lot of the kids think through a lot of their design problems and overall rated their success and ability to work together as a team. It was a really rewarding chance for all of us like participate in like the next generation of engineers that are going to be coming up. Potentially we may even hire. So I love it. I love it. It was just a really good, rewarding experience.
Very nice. Very good.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Larry yeah. Rhodes, what's on your book? Well, how, don't you dare tell me the thing that I wish I could be doing all my time. Just
oh, no, I'm working most of the time. I still nice. Work a 40-hour week from home. But I've been playing Star Citizen lately. It's a pre-release, so it's still kind of buggy and slow. But it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
And it's very realistic, has great graphics, excellent graphics. I wish I could run them at full speed. But I have a challenge on my computer graphics card. So I
well,
deal with
what
I can.
It took 7 years for the game to come out, right? So
yeah.
I'm happy for you. That's awesome, though. I hope you keep enjoying it. And check out some other cool games. I'll recommend them to you as they come forward. But like No Man's Sky, Star Child, Mass Effect. I don't know if you played that, but ooh, there's a lot of stuff in the space that we can get you into.
Cool.
Dread Pirate Higgs, how you been?
Been well. I've been doing good, yes. I've got a couple of things coming up. End of the month, my court case where I will be vindicated for this.
Vindicated?
It's an ongoing thing with the police. That's another story. I did get contacted yesterday by the president of the clergy project. And it turns out that he is in fact a pastafarian. And I guess they have 1,225 participants in the clergy project.
Yeah.
1,225.
They are actually hosting a big event in Vancouver on the 28th of this month, and I've been invited. So I may go there representing the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster of British Columbia.
Let's go.
And getting more clergy project pastafarians involved. So I'm quite excited.
Great.
Very excited about this.
I can give you an update on that because I got a contact from not the president, but another director of the clergy project. And had him on our show, Free Thought Hour, only yesterday. And he was a great, great guy. He started out as a Christian, raised by parents who were heavily involved in the Anglican Church.
Oh, that's interesting.
You call it the Episcopalian, I think, over where you are. And he eventually became a missionary for the Christian Church and spent 25 years in China. But after 5 years there, he became an atheist. And now he is a key leader in the clergy project and CFI, you know, the...
Yeah, CSI,
Center
for Skeptical Inquiry.
That's one.
Well, Dredd, I hope nothing but flourishing in the future, in the near future, hopefully, too. And speaking of flourishing, you know...
I'm looking forward to a lot of eudaimonia.
keep trying. We're gonna make that. We got to make it into a really awesome rap song first. Get it hooked into the younger generation, and then catch on to it. But yeah, go ahead.
I think they're developing a treatment for it. Actually,
a vaccine,
some sort of cream that you apply.
Yeah. John Richards, I'm so glad you've realized that there's cracks in the armor of Apple. Right, like it's just not this monolith of perfection that we all seem to take for granted
it's cracks in the armor of the operator. I think.
So that's the problem with that's a lot of problems with religions. It's like, hey, there's a problem with your God. No, it's me. I'm the sinner. I'm the problem. It's like, no, it's the God. It's we know the God's plot. Come on. Okay. I'll give you another chance to like so I see the Apple keyboard. I see the iPhone. I see the Apple Watch. It's falling apart. I'm saying it's a house of cards. What else can we say? John Richards, it's been a month since I've seen you, though. How you been?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. We had a great family Christmas, mostly for the kids, of course. And we are, I'm not sure whether to describe it as lucky or unfortunate to have lots of children. and where have I gone from there? Well, I then, because I took a couple of weeks off, really, from internet stuff. And since then, I've been very active. I've been quite prolific, making little short videos, science-y videos, explaining how evolution works and how science works in 2 or 3 minutes. And I've stacked them on the YouTube channel, Free Thought channel. And it's working. I'm getting more subscribers, more views. Yeah, I'm pleased.
I love it. Cool. I love it. And it's the sort of stuff that needs to be normalized. You know, you may not realize this, but like when I was a kid in the 90s, a little thing called Pokemon came out. And the crazy thing about Pokemon was that every parent hated it, called it the devil, called it Satan worship. And we're also throwing up the idea that they evolve. Like that was one of the key words. It's like they use evolution in a video game for children. And in my head, it's like, I was in California at the time. So it's like, why is that a bad thing? I thought everybody understood what evolution was. I didn't contextualize it with a bad thing. It was just some things that a lot of parents had a problem with. But thankfully, the invisible hand pushed Pokemon to like a level where it was untouchable through the ire of, you know, soccer moms and terrible dads. And made it where it's like evolution's now a household name. Everyone knows it. Everyone kind of understands it. And instead of fighting it, what Christians just did was said, well, there's two different kinds of evolution, or maybe three different kinds. There's the macro and the mini. We're going to have to like obfuscate the facts instead of ignore them, just so that we can maintain some sort of leverage. Yeah. And I'm hoping that over time, as kids educate themselves, and because it might be the best way for them to get out of these like indoctrinated circles, is to realize that there isn't really a difference between these two different levels. It's all one system. And the more consistent and broader your system is, the less of a double standard you might be operating under. And I think that's for them.
There's also a tendency to oversimplify it. I mean, you know, like Ken Ham and his, you know, his big boat there. It's like a straw man. They straw man the whole evolutionary theory into this. You know, like it is. It's a true straw man where, you know, they give you a picture of your grandfather looking like an ape, you know, and saying, well, I wouldn't want my ancestors looking like this or some stupid thing.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, why do people go to the gym? It's so they can look like gorillas. Like, what's the whole idea behind it? Exactly. You want to look like apes. Apes look cool, first of all. And then second of all, that's not how evolution works to begin with. Larry, what do you think?
Well, it's not just evolution. I think that you'll find that any big thing that goes like really viral for kids, you'll find churches saying, that's of the devil, that's of Satan. Right. But mainly because it's distracting the kids from learning the religion. It's distracting them from thinking about sin and salvation and Jesus.
Right.
And they can't have that kind of competition for the next generation that they're trying to
get. Yeah. Yes.
I wonder if they brought out a game which was Jesus-based, you know, and you played this game and eventually Jesus came back and everything was wonderful. Would they like that? What makes me wonder is there's been a movie come out recently, which is, what's it called? The Return of the Antichrist.
The Antichrist is what the chat says.
Yeah, yeah. And Christian actor, is publicizing it by coming out with statements like, I think the return of Jesus is looming.
Okay.
That was his word, looming.
So I'll tell you this right now. There was a show where that had Jesus come back, and it was played as straight as possible to an extent, but it was called Black Jesus. It was on Comedy Central. And it's just like, Jesus comes back from Nazareth. He's still got the robe. The robes. Still has like the sandals. He's got the holes. He's ready to go, but he's black. And people were like, nah, not ours. Sorry. Sorry. And it's like, what are you talking about? I'm literally the guy. You want me to turn some juice from water? I can do that right now. Boom, boom, boom. Let me walk on water. Like, why aren't you guys believing me? It's just like, nice. I don't know. It's just something to put a finger on. Maybe we can put a finger on it, but we just don't like it. I don't know. It's just not what we are. It
doesn't fit our worldview.
Doesn't fit our worldview. Sorry. Yeah. Like the trend has moved forward. So guys, our chat has also mentioned that my mom also believes Pokemon is the devil. That is from Popcorn. Appreciate the chat. Also, a quick question from the chat is a game recommendation for Larry that you should play Sea of Thieves if you were considering like No Man's Sky or Star Child. It's not a game that takes place in space, but it does run on lower end computers. and it's all about being a pirate, and you might enjoy it. And then also
check it out.
Famous Jesus movies. There was a question for you, John Richards, on what was your thoughts on The Passion of the Christ as a movie about Jesus?
The Mel Gibson one?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Of course, I've heard a lot about it. But it's a movie. It's a movie, guys.
Gratuitously violent.
Good point. I have not, I don't think, they played it in school, believe it or not, when I was in... Yeah, and not on an unironic sense. It was just like, hey, we have an hour to kill. Would you guys mind if I play a movie? And I was like, oh, cool. What's it going to be? And then it started being The Passion of Christ, and I was like kind of checked out. But I was a Christian back then. But even back then, I was like, I'd rather like learn stuff than watch this propaganda thing in class.
I'm not sure if they'll message you back.
Anyway, guys, I did not flourish under watching The Passion of the Christ in school. I want to be happy. And I thought that might be a good topic for us to talk about. Like, what makes us happy? Because if you ask the internet what makes an atheist happy, you might Google it or Bing it, unfortunately, and get results such as they like to eat babies. They like to sacrifice goats in the wrong way. They don't call their moms on their birthdays. Like, what are the terrible things that atheists do that we can buck that trend or that impression? And what can we just simply explain what makes us happy? And I'd like to go on a roundtable discussion on that real quick. Larry, what do you think? You go first. What makes you happy as an atheist?
Well, I think it depends. It's just from different person to person, I think, whatever makes us happy. But generally, human flourishing and progress.
Great.
You know, we value education. We value humanity per se. We want the best for our neighbors. If we make a better society, we get benefits of a better society.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah. The better we can make the world, the better, and still be alive in the world, the better for us too. Rising tide lifts all boats, basically. All right. So, Dredd, you know you got the heavy topic, so I'm going to go to John.
Yeah, let's go to John there if you want.
John, what makes you happy?
Yeah, well, thank you for coming to me because I'm an Englishman.
Beyond functional Apple products. Just one.
I'm an Englishman, and I don't do emotions, happy or sad. I just do sanguine.
Okay, very cool. And dry humor too, right?
Yes.
Okay, you guys wrote the book on that. You have
British wit.
British wit. But obviously, you know, you do a lot of social activity. You definitely contributed a lot in terms of the free
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Do you enjoy that?
I do. I like people. Hmm. I'm a social animal, an extreme social animal, you could say. And so I'm very keen to interact and engage. And just you know, there's a new breed of dogs. They've been crossed with a couple of other breeds, and they're crossed with an intention of making them very empathic, very friendly, lovely pets. And what they've done is they've taken poodles and spaniels, which already showed some of those characteristics, smushed them together, and they've come out with these dogs that are so dependent upon human contact, they've been redesignated Velcro dogs because they suffer from
anxiety, separation anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. Separation anxiety.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
It's interesting because my Jack Russell suffers from that. If there isn't someone in the room, and that's why I always ask you guys if you can hear her when she's howling upstairs because I'm not around.
My mother had poodles. It was the same way.
I am playing a game called Game Deck right now. It's an RPG that takes place in like a cyberpunk world. Think of it as just like you can dial into a computer. Other people dial into a computer. But there's a conceit in the game where you can make friends with other humans who are playing the game, or you can make your own friend. You pay money to a company as like DLC or like downloadable content, and they will make a character in the game that fits your specifications, that has civil rights, that has awareness. It's an AI, but it's your character. And that character can be in love with you or hate you, be anything you want. And then there's the question of, okay, is this okay? it's not a real thing, but like, is it okay? Like, is that healthy for the human being who's enacted that? And I'm thinking like, Is it good to make dogs that need to have humans? Like, or is there a boundary that we're beginning to cross there if we haven't crossed it already? John Richards, what do you think?
I see such a parallel there between making your own AI character and choosing your own God. Because, you know, nobody else's God is quite the God you want. That's why the religions have all broken up into different cults and sects and denominations. There's so many, I think there's something like 30,000 different denominations of Christians at the last count. And of course, that's not including the new one in Australia, which the new branch of Anglicanism, which fell out with the original branch of Anglicanism in Australia because they can't agree whether to marry or bless homosexual unions. Sure. So, you know, this is exactly the same thing. This is me saying what I want. I want exactly these characteristics, exactly these properties on my chosen God or AI friend in the game.
I see. Mm-hmm. I also agree. Yeah. Like if you, man, it's just the weirdest thing. If you drive down the street where I'm at, just the street that leads to my home, you're going to cross two churches. And like I said, my commute's very, very short, but there'll be two churches. But if I drive deeper into downtown, I'm crossing seven churches. In fact, if I wanted to give you directions of where I live, I'd be like, take a left at Passion of the Assembly, and then go past the Blessed Union of Holies, and then turn left at the God's Chosen Lambs of the Future. And then pass the bypass of the chosen ones. It's like, it's all just different versions of the same God, a couple of blocks away from each other because they don't like that flavor and they can go somewhere else. It's like, why are there so many different churches?
Along the way, there'll be snakes.
There might be some that have snakes. It's a question. It's a great point. We choose the God we want, like potato chips, basically.
This is the whole indication that God is man-made, just like your AI character in that game.
Or if there is one God, the probability that you're worshiping that one based on just what your parents followed or what country you were in or how much money you had at the time or what you're exposed to in your time period is astronomically low that you're actually worshiping the accurate one.
Well, just from the sheer number of religions on the planet, it's like 1 in 10,000.
Yeah. And is that your fault or is that the God's fault for not contacting you at that point?
This is why religions have to have strong sanctions to prevent people from leaving, because they know the tendency to do that is high. So they've got to have severe punishments to keep you in the flock, keep you under control.
Guys, I'm buckled up. And speaking of like keeping us from leaving, I'm ready to sit through this terminology. Dread Pirate Higgs.
How about I share this quote with you? It's relevant.
And spell it too.
Eudaimonia, Eudaimonia.
Okay.
Thanks.
Anyway, that's to do with human flourishing. Anyway, as I mentioned earlier, I'm working on Kant's critique of pure reason.
Okay.
And in doing that, I'm also reading a companion, so a Kant companion, and so anyway, I'm working on this chapter. It's called The Supreme Principle of Morality, which is written by Alan W. Wood, and he had this great quote, and I really really like this. So he's talking about the principle, you know, what is the principle of morality that Kant's after, and he says, as a parenthetical, he says, in other words, those sentimentalists who think that what satisfies the heart, but not the head, represents greater moral purity, have things exactly wrong.
Yeah.
Where the head has been corrupted, it was the heart that corrupted it. And the first remedy for the corruption of our hearts is to learn to think in an enlightened way with our heads about what to do and which feelings we should allow to influence us.
I
love it. I love it.
And there you go. That's when you think about eudaimonia, what is it that we should allow to guide us towards an understanding of human flourishing and what it means to be happy.
I love it.
I still think and suspect that eudaimonia could easily be neutralized by some vinegar or acetic acid.
Larry, we're nearing the bottom of the half hour.
Shot of penicillin. Yeah, sure. Right back. Stay tuned for the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
How could one species turn into another?
How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, they're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA.
Only the fittest survive, and that was the key. Natural selection. That was the key.
We are surrounded by endless forms, most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. There is grandeur in this view of life. Most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth.
Can be thought of as a many-branched tree. The five kingdoms of life were established early on. Bacteria, protists, amoeba-like creatures, fungi, plants, and animals.
We find ourselves perched on one tiny twig in the midst of a blossoming tree of life. Perched on one tiny twig of a blossoming tree of life.
Only the fittest survive, and that was the key. Natural selection. That was the key.
We are surrounded by endless forms, most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. There is grandeur in this field of life. Most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth. We are surrounded by millions of other species, walking, flying, burrowing, stalking, chasing, fleeing, outpacing.
Animals strive to reach this one ultimate goal, to ensure the survival of the next generation. This one ultimate goal, to pass on their genes. That is what life is all about, is all about.
There is grandeur in this field of life. Most beautiful, most wonderful. Evolution, the greatest show on earth.
As we look back on the history of life, we see a picture of never-ending, ever-rejuvenating novelty.
Those animals may seem to us to be very remote, strange, even fantastic. But all of us alive today owe our very existence to them.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Dotter Five, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year, and we have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City in Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather, outside on the deck. We also have Tuesday evening Zoom Ask meetups. So if you'd like to join us on Zoom, email us for details at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can find ASK on Facebook, meetup.com, or just go to the website at knoxvilleatheists.org, by the way. If you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Start one.
Start one.
Wombat, where do we want to pick up?
Yo, so many places. That brilliant quote that was brought over by Dredd reminded me of two scenarios, or one scenario. I'll just keep it to one. I was talking with a lady who said she had a tattoo, and she showed me the tattoo. It's like a brand new tattoo, and it had three words. One, soul, body, or soul, body, mind. And she's like, these are the three steps to like be happy and whole. It's like, you got to take care of your soul. You got to take care of your body. And then you got to take care of your mind in that order. Larry, I already know what you're going to say.
I'm triggered.
Let me get the story out. So in my head, I was like, I don't want to have to do the jump on topic of like whether souls or not exist, which I know Larry wants to jump on.
Yeah.
But I was like, is it in that order? She says, yeah, because I care about my soul, then my body next, and then my mind. I'm like, in my head, I was like, I did actually say this, like your mind is a product of your body. Like if you don't take care of your body, your mind like is going to fall apart too. That should be an indication to you that these two things are related. They're not like a metaphysical aspect, like your continuum of brain synapses of this physical thing that's inside your head is your mind. You can cut off your arm, you still have your mind. You mess with your head, your mind goes away. Like that should be an indication. So you got to take care of your body, take care of your mind. You got to eat right. You got to think well, got to behave well. There's a bunch of stuff that goes into taking care of your body that supplementary and directly affects your mindset. And if you can do that, then maybe you can get yourself into a position where you realize that souls aren't real. And maybe you can flip the two and just be like, hey, I'm just going to take care of myself.
You could even go a step further. I mean, when you think about like Rene Descartes, cogito ergo sum, right? I think therefore I am.
Right.
So that, of course, was dualism. The idea that mind and body are two separate and distinct entities. Whereas monists, of course, believe that it's all just one and the same thing. Mind or consciousness is just an emergent property of being in the world, and it has no other significance outside of the body. I mean, without a body, you don't have a mind. So,
without a body, you don't have a mind. More consciousness.
The distinction in that case as a monist is irrelevant. You know, most people think in dualist terms because it's convenient, but fundamentally so we are monists, or that's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I support that. Larry, what do you think? One complex thing rather than a bunch of separate small less complex things. Like no, that
well, I'm just gonna be a technicality here.
Go for it.
You could have your head in a jar and you wouldn't have a body, but you would have a mind.
But your head is the body. Your head is the body.
In that case, the head would be the body. It would be all that's really needed, as long as you could support oxygen and blood to the brain and keep it working. Correct. You would still have a mind, because the mind is what the brain does. You know, it produces a sheer mind. And if you take damage to
you couldn't have a mind without the sensations of, you know, the inputs of your senses.
You could use a mind. You could use a computer to like the old head in a jar analogy. You could use a computer to send simulations of the sensations to your brain, and you would still function.
Right.
Here's my thought process on it.
Because I love this train. So like my mom has a cochlear implant. With the cochlear implant, her actual ear doesn't work. Her eardrum and all the ear canal does not work.
Cochlear.
She has a electronic device that takes sound from outside, turns it into an electrical signal, and feeds it directly to her brain. Right. So like in a weird way, like she doesn't have her ears, but she does have like this cybernetic capability of still experiencing sound, and it's just as real to her as it is to anybody else, because it's just bypassing like all the original routes. So what if we did the same thing with eyes, tasting, feeling, all that stuff, and you had like a literal brain? I don't think it's that far-fetched of an idea. She'd still have civil rights, she'd still be a person, but like her experience would just be digital or like based on computers rather than like through this meat space. So like the body can change, and to an aspect how she experiences the world changes. But in my head, the mind is still has to be grounded in a body experience. And that body can be variable, but it still needs to be grounded to a body. So you can't just have the mind experience without the body, is my conclusion. Would you guys agree with me?
Exactly. That's my
conclusion.
And Larry, I like that. The mind is what the body does.
No, the mind is what the brain does.
The brain does. Which yeah, is your body?
You have doppelganger John and real John. You can't tell which is which.
True. Just
yeah, but the point I was going to make is you can damage the brain and it will affect your mind. You can do surgery on the brain. You can take drugs and it will affect the mind. But it's a chemical process that affects the resulting mind experience.
And if you look online, there's actually people who are working on digital eyes right now. There's a clip that you can put on your hand that sends visual signals directly to your brain.
Yeah, like Jordy LaForge.
Kind of like that. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I would love to see us be able to, you know, invest more time and effort into this so that we can not necessarily cure. I don't want to be ableist, but like there are some people who are like blind or like, I'm cool, I'm good. And some people are deaf or like, I don't need a cochlear implant. But for the option for the people who don't want to be blind or don't want to be deaf, but maybe even culturally blind and deaf, but still want to be able to hear and see, we have the technology to give it to them so that they have that option to be able to get there. That's the path that I'd love for us to get into it, where it's like, hey, you have that, you can hear if you want to hear, you can see if you want to see. We have that. That's not a problem. Blindness or deafness. It's now a lifestyle. Oh, that'd be so fantastic. Anyway, we were talking about things that make you happy, things that make me happy, science, critical thinking, and delving into like matters of philosophy, believe it or not. I also like drawing too and playing games. Larry has a slightly different taste for video gaming than I do, which is totally fine. You play like hardcore time intensive games. I'm more of like, what can I get through during a bathroom break on my phone? And then like at the end of the day, but let's see, Dredd, on the concept of human flourishing, you know, before we get into like the metaphysical aspects of like what makes God happy or what would make a God happy, what do you think is the catch-all thing that makes people happy or able to reach eudaimonia as a concept? Like, what are we lacking right now?
Wow.
That will get us to that state where we can
flourishing.
Well, I suppose lesser reliance on things outside yourself. You know, because you end up being your own despot. You know, like if the things that make you happy are things outside yourself, then it's all contingent.
Well, I mean, there's things outside yourself that you actually need to be happy, like food, shelter, you know, the essentials. So that's one of the things that I was going to mention about what do we need to make a eudaimonia, like generalized in the society, is we need the basics, and we need them to be provided for everyone, you know, whether they're rich, poor, or whatever, they need the basics to even think about being eudaimonious.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's actually part of the argument towards the basic income, the guaranteed basic income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's coming, but it may be another 100 or 2 years before that happens. But, you know, robots and artificial intelligence are going to take our jobs, and they're going to just do it without us.
They're going to take our jobs, so we got
to
get...
No, I mean, that's a good thing. It gives us more free time, but we need to supply...
Right.
Income so that, you know, the kid people won't have to worry about it. There are countries that do that right now.
Or revolutionary change the idea of what money is to begin with. Maybe have it come with an expiration date. That way it's not just this thing that you feel like you need a hoard and only give to your family. Rather, it's just like it's a thing that we use to have and maintain a good state of welfare, period. And it's not a thing that you need to hold on to or use for power or get extra advantages over people. It's just, here's your basic needs. You got it. You're happy. Go have fun. Go be an artist. If you want to be an artist. Go
right. Be creative. You know,
and that would certainly make education more relevant to people who are otherwise
and accessible
to make ends meet and, you know, shelter themselves.
Right.
If they have, it becomes, you know, something within grasp.
Right.
To educate and improve self-improvement and whatnot.
And so those
other things you're not having to worry about so much.
And this is not an uncommon argument. Like back in the days when we used to give war to like beaver pelts, right? Beaver pelts would depreciate and fall apart over time. And people were like, you know what? We can't trade pelts all the time. What if we had like gold or rare metals? They're harder to get, but they can represent sets of things that are much easier to carry.
Well, plus gold and and silver have intrinsic value themselves. You can make things out of them that are.
And it was, and that started that transition. Then people were like, you know, this is heavy. What if we just had like papers? Like, well, who's going to give out the paper? Because whoever gives out the paper is going to have a lot of power over us because they're controlling how we buy and feed our families and stuff. It's like, trust me, it's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. Next thing you know, we have like this currency. And we begin to see the separation of classes. And now it's like, if you ask me for $5, I'd be like, who has money on them? I feel bad. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't carry cash. Like my money is numbers that exist in a bank somewhere that I have access on my phone that I don't actually see. I don't handle money. I just like swipe a card or I like push a button and things show up at my house. Like that's it. And now there's the push for crypto, which is its own bag of worms, but it's like another competing concept for money.
I've started getting into it.
It's like, what is this? What is how it work? Does this expire? Is it forever? Like, what does it mean? How does it value? Where is this? What does it mean? What is it? What is it having one of these coins that are virtual mean? Like, how does any of this work? And so I love that it's at least evolving, maybe more rapidly than we're aware of, but maybe we can get ourselves to a better system through a more competing trial and error than one system where we clearly see wealth is not being distributed as with the equity that it should be or ought to be. All right, guys, I have a question from the chat. They'd love to know what your thoughts are on biblical angels and do they freak you out or not? And for me, yes, they do
freak you out. Only if you think they're real.
Only if you think they're real. They are a freaky concept. Even like, so if you showed a biblically accurate angel to a Christian, they'd freak out and they'd be like, oh, that doesn't look like what I think an angel looks like a Bruce Willis with wings.
Yeah, well, go there. What would it actually look like according to the Bible?
According to the Bible.
Six wings.
Yeah, yeah.
Six wings.
A body that's basically a rotating ring that has a bunch of eyes all over it. Makes noises that sound like seven trumpets coming out of
it's a monster.
Something. It's a monster. What else can you say? It's an ugly Pokemon. Speaking of Pokemon, maybe that's the Dread, your thoughts, even freakier than a flying spaghetti monster. No offense, hopefully meant by that, but I'm just wondering
I much prefer the flying spaghetti monster. Visually more interesting, I think, than any biblical angel I've heard of. So.
And much more powerful.
And much more powerful.
Let's see, Larry, quick thoughts from you. What's your thoughts on biblically accurate angels?
I think according to what you tell me, I haven't really done much research on angels, but I mean, what I get from TV and movies is they're beautiful. And matter of fact, Satan is supposed to be God's most beautiful angel. And if they've got six wings and eyes all over their body and what is it? Trumpet?
Yeah. So this is an interesting concept.
It's weird.
Yeah. Larry's right. They on TV all kind of look like Julia Roberts, but they are actually pretty ugly from the biblical accurate representations. But yet Lucifer could just be like a regular schmuck of a guy. Like he may not necessarily be the most beautiful angel, but just by the fact that he looks like an average slubby dude, he's like, I don't look as ugly as those saints. I don't look as ugly as those saints. Maybe that's why I got a step above everyone else. And if I think he said Lucifer thought himself even more beautiful than God. Maybe God isn't a much of a looker to begin with, too. I'm being cheeky.
Yeah, but they're both pretty vain.
That
is true.
God even more so. It's kind of funny, even admits it. Guys, making things happy is, or making people happy, making other people happy is also something that I value. And the reason why I do that is because if I make an effort to make the surrounding areas around me more enjoyable by improving the morale of the people around me, maybe other people will do the same for me. And if I'm down, I will be in an environment where people are willing to lift me up as well. And that sort of reciprocity, even though it's selfishness, it's not truly altruistic, right? But
reciprocal altruism.
I find value in improving the environment that I'm in, particularly because I'm in it, right? Mm-hmm. And I like that idea. So like oftentimes I'll go out, I'll volunteer. Like I said, I was volunteering this weekend because I want people to volunteer when they grow up and help kids out. I'll pick up trash because it's nice to live in an area that doesn't have trash all over the place. And it keeps people from wanting to throw more trash, because they'll throw more trash to a trash pile, but they may not throw trash in a clean park. Right. I have fun doing that. And I don't think we get credit for it as atheists, but you know what? I'm not doing it for the credit. I'm just doing it because it's nice to be in a nice environment. On the flip side, I do find a lot of Christians love the credit themselves for a lot of different things. And maybe that's where the bad rap comes from. It's just we don't have a very good marketing team. What do you think? Dredd, I'll throw it out to you. Do you ever do anything with reciprocal altruism in mind?
Well, the whole pacifarianism thing is reciprocal altruism. I mean, the idea that we need to separate church and state is the underlying mission of pacifarianism. And having fun doing it, making people happy, feeding the world with pasta. Yeah, let's get it on. Nice.
Yeah, and Dredd. Oh, John, finally back. Let's go.
It's all about you keelhaul me, and I'll keelhaul you.
Nice. Dredd, there's an interesting concept. Oh, go for it, Larry.
I was just going to say the whole term reciprocal altruism is kind of a oxymoron. When you think of altruism, you're doing something without the thought of reward.
Right.
And
yeah, but it's pretty hard. I mean, it's pretty hard to argue that altruism can be anything.
Right.
But modified.
Well, I agree.
A term like
there are arguments to be made that there's no such thing as
that's
full
that's
right. altruism. Right. Because you're always thinking of, you know, a reward you'll get from doing it, even if it's just making the society better.
Or even the
better.
Good feeling you have, like your Anything. Own eudaimonia is dependent on the actions you have towards others. So
mm-hmm.
in that true sense, there is no altruism
if you agree.
Benefit mm-hmm. even emotionally.
Not from. Absolute, anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Like, for example, I like it when other people are happy. I already described that. I like making other people happy. If I was in heaven where I have complete... you know, access to flourish in any way I want to. As a caring person, I would be very sad for all the people who are still in hell, who will be there for eternity, dying and on fire, gritting their teeth. I could not enjoy anything I'm doing in heaven in any capacity if I know that there's billions of people in a hell dying. Even if there was one person, I'd be really upset with that. In fact, there's a really great story. I forgot what it was called, but it's basically a utopia town that underneath the town and inside a sewer grate, you can look at one person who's suffering, and that person's suffering powers all the lights and the food machine.
Wow, that sounds like a great story.
And none of these people can really truly enjoy it once they know that there's that one person down there suffering. And it's sort of like, is this really a utopia anymore? It's the exact same conceit with heaven. Like, I can't enjoy it if I'm a person that cares about other people. The only way that I could enjoy it is if you took my brain or parts of my body and destroyed it so that that part of me doesn't exist anymore. And at that point, we're not talking about me anymore. That's being
it. Right.
Wouldn't that actually be the ultimate schadenfreude? Right? You know, you're up in heaven and knowing you're, you know, maybe your brother who's an atheist or
exactly
you know, your or, you know, the kid down the street that, you know, got raped. But, you know, the rapist is in heaven because he asked for forgiveness, but the little kid isn't, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Right. I have friends that are just openly, happily Christian, and I let them know I'm atheist and we have a good time. And I ever wonder if they ever consider, but Ty's not going to heaven. And are they saying, well, is that Ty's fault, or will there just be one day that I can make him turn around, or what do I do with that? Because I'm not the only nice atheist that's out there.
Yeah.
And the more I let you know that, the more I just open your eyes to the idea that there's different kinds of people. You should think about, okay, well, then God's chosen few. What are you going to do? Like, what's your scenario to resolve that? I'm not making your life complicated. I'm just saying the system itself is really messed up.
Yeah. Remember? Do you guys remember when Stephen Hawking died? There was a lot of Christian people who were joyously triumphant in the notion that he was going to burn in hell.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That was very
shocking right there.
On the flip side. Yeah. And if those people do go to heaven, could you imagine how terrible it would be to be in heaven where it filled with all the grammar Nazis of the world? It's like, it's pronounced Schadenfreude. I'm sorry. It's like not Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
I know how to pronounce things. I was the best guy in my Bible school. It's like, oh, this is hell. I'm in hell. I got into the bad place. Oh, no. What's going on in heaven? There's like free Elvis Presley concerts going on 24/7. It's crazy.
So we should define schadenfreude, though, right? Because everyone knows what that means.
Enjoying the misfortune of other people, right?
Exactly. Yes. Taking pleasure in other people's misfortune.
Is that masochism or sadism? That's sadism, isn't it?
I'd say it's sadism.
Even though you're not responsible for their suffering.
You're not directly responsible.
I always mix up those two, and I feel like those are important terms to know because you never know when you need to use them. So like masochism is you, sadism is you on other people. It's like, okay.
So Ty, here's a question for you. Why is it masochism, but machismo?
Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back. See, he got the apple working, and now he can be like, now I can be in charge.
Now I have the power.
I have my Capitol building behind me. I'm doing this.
I've charged everything up.
It's all charged up.
It's all working again.
No stopping him.
Guys, I had a great show. I love talking to you guys. I'm so glad everyone was able to come in. Chat's happy. Everyone's good. So how about we do this? We can wrap up. I'd love to know, Dread Pirate, if there's anything you'd like to plug. And you got time. So anything on you, because I know you got a full plate.
Yeah, sure. Well, again, I'm going to try and get down to this a clergy project event in Vancouver on the 28th of this month. And it is being hosted by the Center for Skeptical Inquiry. Mm-hmm. So those are two great things to check out.
You were telling us before the show that they had how many members now?
You might want to tell us. 1,225, he said. So that's a lot of former priests and pastors
and sometimes current. I mean, these are people may still be behind the pulpit, but don't believe anymore.
That's right. Going through the motions. Mm-hmm. But it's not just Christians now. They've got Muslims, Hindus, and Mormons, and JWs, you know, all the various different types in that 1,225.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can find them at clergyproject.org.
Yes. And I hope this can lead to an actual lawsuit or like a court case where we can just have this like officially settled out. To give you an idea, in 1920s, was it illegal or just not allowed for an atheist to even give testimony? Because to affirm that you could give testimony, you had to do so on the Bible. You had to do so religiously. And our Constitution clearly states that you can't force people to follow a religious dogma. In any sort of context. Mm-hmm. And so when the atheists complain, they're just like, well, then you just can't give testimony because of XYZ. It's like, that's not legal. You can't do that. We had to fight to be able to be in a court and affirm who we were and say, we will give you fair testimony, but we're not going to do so on the blood of a guy that we don't even think exists. I'll just tell you that you can. I'm going to give you the fair testimony. Put me under perjury if I'm lying, but I'm willing to do so, but I'm not going to affirm with a forced on religion.
Right.
And Trump, of course, will only swear in a Bible if it's upside down.
Upside down.
Right. So, like, we had to fight for a lot of stuff. I'm just saying this is the fights that get us towards, you know, progress.
Dredd, yeah. I hope you have a Pastafarian scripture to swear on.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Absolutely. You betcha. Yeah.
You're like, listen,
I've taken it where I've been in a circumstance where I might be asked to. I can affirm certainly, and because I do process serving, I deliver legal documents to people, but I have to, of course, swear an affidavit. Mm-hmm. So I haven't yet, but I think the next time I do, I'm going to bring in my Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster and see.
Good for you.
If that'll fly.
Yeah.
See.
Good for you. Because if anything, got to take that out. I get it. All right, John Richards, what's in your plate?
Well, yeah, we did this very good chat yesterday with somebody from the Clergy Project who was amazing story. he spent, as I said at the beginning, 25 years in China. He speaks Mandarin fluently. It's an atheist country by and large, but they're not critical thinkers. They are inducted into atheism as children. They're told that it is the way to behave. So it's very weird. So I have two meetings coming up later today, and it's a good job I managed to boot up the old computer because I've got an AUK podcast scheduled with John Lombard. He is the rep from TCP that I'm referring to in regard to this event they're staging. I forget the name of it now. I have to Google it. But I've also got the usual Views on the News.
Views on the News.
Yes. The new name for Global Atheist News Review.
Great name.
We're upgrading, you know, new backgrounds, new transparencies, new names, keeping the pace going.
Quick question. Is it news or entertainment?
Well,
Fox News has news, but they
that's
also
the entertainment part of the news.
Yeah.
Global Atheist News itself tries to be dispassionate, unbiased news. And I research all the items from several different sources in order to get a consensual viewpoint. But of course, Views on the News is all about people's opinions, and they introduce their wisdom and their wit, and that's much more like entertainment.
Sure.
Furthermore, we're actually developing some new shows, which we hope will be pure entertainment. One of them is a quiz show called Know Your BS, and you can take that to mean...
Hey, Butterfly Soup, we talked about that on the
very
show.
Very cool.
Great job. All right.
So good. That's
guys. Cool. Guys, you can find my stuff on Let's Chat on YouTube. I also got a webcomic. I don't need to plug that here. But anyway, if you're interested, just check out YouTube Let's Chat. I'll do some sign language breakdowns. I'll do some videos where I do interviews with people. And of course, I got this show right here with some of my favorite people in the world, happily talking to them about science, religion, and the fact that there are no souls. Wait, there are souls. Larry, tell us all about the fact that there are souls.
There are souls. I've got two of them, one on my left foot and one on my right foot.
Well, that's better than what went through my mind when I heard you say there's our souls.
No. Anyway, you can find my content on Facebook. On digitalfreethought.com. When you go there, be sure to click on the blog button. It will take you to our radio show archives, atheist songs, and articles on the subject. The articles on the subject I have put into a book. It's called Atheism, What's It All About?, which is available on Amazon. Thank you, Dredd, for showing it. And my YouTube channel handle is Doubter5. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on WOZO Radio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Amen.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.